and we need to practice them. In other words, they need to become a vital part of our life every day. And unfortunately, ignorance abounds in the body of Christ about a lot of things, but there's really a lot of ignorance and misunderstanding, if you will, about the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to lay a good, firm foundation. As you know, I'm more of a preacher than a teacher, but if you pay attention, you'll learn some things that'll enrich your life and make it better. John chapter 3, Jesus had gone to a well and had a conversation with a woman who was a Samaritan. And during the discourse, he said something to her. He said that if she would ask of him, he would give her living water. And she proceeded to say, well, where are you going to get this living water from? I'm sorry, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And Jesus proceeded to tell her to go call her husband, and supernaturally he located her, and she understood that he was a prophet. But he said in verses 13 and 14, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Now, we know that Jesus was referring to what the Holy Spirit would do in the life of those that believe on him, that he would take up his residence in us, and once we find and have faith in Jesus, the search is over. The thirst is satisfied. And in the heart or the inward part of every man and every woman, there's something that's hungering or thirsting after relationship with God. And so people try to satisfy that thirst many different ways. Many different ideals and ideologies and religions. But that thirst can only be satisfied through relationship with God, and that comes by Jesus. I mentioned to somebody not long ago, I have a real good friend who I used to hang with. And of course, I would always share my faith with him. And, you know, he was a little reluctant to receive the gospel. He would listen to me. But he had that thirst on the inside of him too. And so I remember one time he had talked with somebody, because most people don't have original ideas when it comes to things like that. And so he had talked to somebody, and he came and saw me. He said, well, Bill, I believe there is one God, but there's many ways to it. And I thought, well, I've heard that before too. Unfortunately, it's just not true. I said, well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that sounds a little bigoted and narrow-minded, but Jesus was just letting us know that the way to eternal life is very simple. Faith in him. And once you release your faith in him, that thirst is quenched forever. You're no longer looking and searching and hungering after God. You found him. And he'll come and make his home in you. Now, go to John chapter 7. Jesus went down on one of the feast days and made a statement. And this is one of the scriptures that we're building this series upon. John chapter 7. And we'll look at the first verse here, verse 37. And it says, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so Jesus stands up on this feast day and cries out, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so we have two experiences here. Jesus talked about a well of water springing up into eternal life, which refers to the Spirit dwelling within. When you make your profession that Jesus has become the Lord of your life, something happens. You are born anew or born again, and the Holy Spirit comes and makes his home on the inside of you. But then Jesus talked about rivers of living water. And he was referring to the Spirit upon. And so that's what we want to concentrate on in these lessons. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And this is one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, in Acts chapter 1, it records a little more of the conversation. The disciples said to him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father's put in his own authority, but you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And so Jesus used an expression in Luke 24. Don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued or clothed with power. And he was talking about the infilling or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we read in the scriptures last week, where in Acts chapter 2, it says they were all with one accord in one place, and there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we see that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost does not mean tongues. You with me? It's so associated with that. But the Feast of Pentecost is the Feast of Harvest. And it just so happens on the Feast of Harvest that the Holy Spirit came. And those 120 who were sitting in that room, and that 120 included the disciples, the apostles, it included others, it also included the mother of Jesus. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we saw that there was also a miracle on the ears of the hearers that day, because there were people from all over the known world who came to Jerusalem to worship, Jews and proselytes, and all of them heard these 120 people speaking the wonderful works of God in the language that they were born in. And so if you happen to be from Greece, you heard them speaking Greek. If you happen to be from Asia, you heard them speaking in their own dialect. If you happen to be an Arab, you heard them speaking in Arabic, the wonderful works of God. So there was not just a miracle, if you will, on the lips of the speakers, but something happened to the ears of the hearers. Well, Pastor Young, how did that work? How do you explain that? I can't. That's God. You with me? There are some things that God does that you will never figure out. All you have to do is receive them and walk in it. Sometimes we get so analytical, we think ourselves out of the blessing of God. We think ourselves out of the blessing of God. It happens all the time. Remember that account in the Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 5. It says there were Pharisees, doctors of the law, gathered together in this house. We don't know if it was Jesus' home or a home of a friend. But this meeting was scheduled. All these scholars, if you will, are gathered together in the house. And it's so crowded that you couldn't get in the door. And there was a man who couldn't walk, paralyzed. And he encouraged his four friends to take him to that meeting. And it says they could not get in the door because of the crowd. And so they went up on the housetop, looked down through the vent, and saw where Jesus was sitting in this house. And most of those homes had an open courtyard. And it could have been bigger than this auditorium here. And while he's teaching and all these scholars are sitting there, the scripture says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." So these guys couldn't get in, and they weren't invited. This was a scheduled meeting with Pharisees and doctors of the law. And this guy has his friends take him up on the roof. They see where Jesus is teaching in this courtyard, indoors, and began to tear up the tiling. And when they made a hole big enough, they got ropes and started to lower this man down in front of Jesus. And when this man finally is lowered to the floor in front of Jesus, all these scholars are watching. And Jesus said this to this man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And it says all of these men began to think in their hearts, "Whoa, wait a minute. Who does this guy think he is? Nobody can forgive sins but God alone." And Jesus said to them, "Why think ye this in your heart?" He knew what they were thinking. All of a sudden, they got analytical. And Jesus said, "I'm going to show you that I have authority to forgive sin." And he looks at the man and he says, "Get up, pick up your bed, go home." And immediately he rose up, healed, picked up the thing he was laying on, and headed for the house. Now, here's the thing. They got analytical. The power of the Lord was present to heal them, but they didn't get it. One guy who wasn't even invited, he got it. You with me? He got it. And many times we try to think our way through the blessing of God, and I'm just here to tell you, you will never figure out how God does these things. Just receive it. That's all you got to do. Just receive it. Really, when you get so analytical, it's a form of pride. Because you're thinking, "Well, I can figure this thing out." No, you can't. No, you can't. I mean, Moses found himself there many times. "Lord, what am I going to do? There's the sea there and the Egyptians are bearing down behind us. What do I do?" The Lord said, "What do you got?" He said, "I got this stick you gave me. He's going to stretch it out and watch what I do." Stretch that stick out. The Bible says the Red Sea parted here and there, and they crossed over on dry land. Now figure that out. You can't figure that out. All you can do is get your behind across there. Are you with me? Can you imagine somebody standing on the side? "Now wait a minute, how did this happen? Let's see. I can't figure this out. I can't figure this out." And that's what a lot of people do. Because they can't figure it out, they won't enter into it. Well, you got a choice. Stay there and get killed or enter into it. So in the same manner, you need to flow in some things. If God's Word declares them, don't try to figure it out. Just receive it. Just receive it. Sometimes your head will talk you out of a blessing. Amen? Your head will talk you out of a blessing. Okay, turn with me now to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Specifically, the Spirit upon, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or as the Scripture declares, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is it, and what does it mean to us? Why does the Holy Spirit, in His person, do these things? Well, the Scripture has the answers. Acts chapter 10. Now, last week we talked about Peter. He had a vision when he's on the rooftop. And God had sent some people to ask for him so that he could share the gospel with them. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 10. He gets to the house of this man called Cornelius. Cornelius had been praying. The Lord sent an angel and said, "Your prayer is heard. Send men to Joppa, to a certain street, to a certain house. Have them ask for this man. He'll come and tell you what you need to do." Amen. And so while Peter got there, verse 34 says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that fears him and works righteousness, they're accepted with him.'" Then he started sharing about what Jesus did in Judea. Verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of these things." Verse 43, "To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins." What is he doing? He's preaching the gospel to Cornelius' household. Verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision," or the Jews which believed, who came with Peter, "were astonished, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know, these verses are very enlightening and very informative. I used to hang around with a group of people that thought you couldn't receive the Holy Ghost unless you tarried. But yet here these people got filled with the Holy Ghost, then they tarried. It's better to tarry with him than without him. Amen? It's better to tarry with him than without him. I made mention of the service I was in Lexington, Kentucky, where, you know, church started at 7 o'clock. Some of y'all think our services are long, an hour and 45 minutes. Please. They started at 7. We didn't get out of there till 1:30 in the morning. Because they were tarrying for the Holy Ghost. And when they got all said and done, the guy didn't receive anything. And afterwards he said with pride, well, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 14 years. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. So we got back to my sister-in-law's place and she said, well, what'd you think of our church? I said, you really want to know? She said, yeah, well, you know, be honest with people. I said, y'all waste a lot of time. And so I shared with her the same scriptures I'm sharing with you. I said, if somebody had instructed this man properly, he could have received in 14 minutes instead of 14 years. And she said to me, well, I still believe it the way we were taught it. I said, knock yourself out. It's your life. You want to waste all that time? Go right on ahead. They believe you have to tarry to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, if that is the case, then you're going to have to tarry the way Jesus said to tarry. Tarry in Jerusalem. Until you be endued with power from on high. It's not necessary. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We're going somewhere with this. Acts chapter 19. And this is many years later. Paul decided to go to Ephesus. Acts chapter 19. Notice the first verse. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said to them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto him, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Notice that they didn't have to tarry in Jerusalem. Notice that they didn't have to tarry in Ephesus. He laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen. Now, these men were believers. But yet they'd not heard of the Holy Ghost. The interesting thing is, the first thing Paul asked them was, Well, how were you baptized? Had you been baptized properly, you would have heard of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, these men had been baptized under repentance, which is what John the Baptist preached. And they knew about the resurrection of Jesus, and so they believed on him. But they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And so Paul baptized them again and laid hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came on them. We're talking about the Holy Spirit upon. Amen. Now, there are certain Christian people, and here's a little lesson for you. And they believe that unless you've been baptized by a certain formula, you're not saved, or you haven't received the Holy Ghost. And they take Scripture out of context because in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached, you know, the Spirit of God sat on all of them. They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. He said in verse 32 of Acts chapter 2, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And so out of that has come a formula for baptism that you're baptized in Jesus' name only. Well, that's not scriptural. And if you really want to know the truth, that kind of teaching goes beyond just water baptism. It is what is referred to as oneness, O-N-E, oneness doctrine. That simply means that Jesus is God, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. But the Scripture teaches us something different. Amen. That Jesus is God, but He has a Father who is God. And then He sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Trinity, just because they can't understand it, then they try to get around it. Are you with me? But if that were the case, why would Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit"? Yes. If being baptized in Jesus' name only was the formula, then why would Jesus say that? Well, He said it because that's the correct way. Now listen, if you have friends or relatives who believe in oneness doctrine, and, you know, they'll ask you things like, "You've been down in Jesus' name?" Tell them, "Yeah, you have. You got the Father and Holy Ghost too." Amen? Right. But don't argue with people. Are you with me? You can share the Scripture, but don't argue with people. The devil loves nothing more than to see Christian people bickering and arguing and fussing and fighting. Because if he can divide us, then he can conquer. Amen? Jesus is the one who said, when he was accused of casting out devils by a demon, he said, "That doesn't make any sense. If Satan be divided against Satan, his kingdom can't stand." And so what the enemy endeavors to do is get Christians fighting with each other, because he knows they can't stand when they do that. So just love people. If they don't see eye to eye with you doctrinally, don't fuss with them. Don't feud with them. Love them. Don't argue with them. I had a guy one time, we worked for the same insurance company, and he was a oneness believing fella from Erie. And no, he wasn't from Erie. The other guy was from Erie. He liked to argue that point all the time. And so one time we went to a convention, and we were in Hershey, PA, and his wife was there. And he said, "You've been down in Jesus' name." I knew where he was going. I said, "Well, you know, there's a lot of controversy about that." I said, "But Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." I said, "That ended my controversy." And his wife said, "Ooh. If you're going to argue with somebody, argue with Jesus. I didn't write it. That's what he said." You with me? Now, what's my point? Paul asked these believers, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" That's a valid scriptural question to ask. Amen. They said, "We haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said, "Well, how were you baptized?" So that tells us how Paul baptized, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But baptism in and of itself will not save anybody. Are you with me? Salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. You can be as wet as you want to be. You can be baptized 50 times. Until you believe on the Lord Jesus and give Him your heart, nothing has happened. You just got wet. You with me? Amen. Now, there's power in water baptism. Let's not discount it. It's a powerful thing. And we need to practice it often. And everybody should be baptized. Amen? And when you understand the power of it, it's a tremendous thing. Now, Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I want to show you something. How important is the Spirit upon? It is critical to your Christian life. Acts chapter 8. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture, because it reveals so much, and it knocks over a lot of, I like to say it like this, sacred cows that some people have established. Acts chapter 8. If you got it, say, "I got it." All right, notice verse 5. "Then Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed," or paid attention, "to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Now, let me stop and give you a little bit of information about Philip. Philip was not an apostle. Philip was not one of the 12. Philip was one of the seven men chosen in the church at Jerusalem to feed widows. And the qualifications were this: pick you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. These were the first deacons, if you will, in the New Testament church. Diaconus. What is a diaconus? A servant. Now, what was their ministry? Feeding widows. I like to say it like this: meals without wheels. That's what they did. Because there was a need in the church. Widows were being neglected. Now, a widow in ancient times in Palestine didn't have the benefits that a widow has in the United States of America in 2014. If you did not have family to support you, you didn't eat. Because there was no welfare office downtown. Are you with me? There was no treasure house where you could just go and get whatever you wanted. If your family didn't provide for you, you were in trouble. And so the church took it upon themselves to minister to these people who needed help. And I truly believe the apostles jumped in with both feet, tried to feed widows, tried to teach and preach the word, and they realized they couldn't do both. They needed help. And so they went and called the church together and said, "You pick, not us, you guys pick them, seven men to do this ministry. But here's what they all must have: honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom." We need the same qualifications today. "Whom we may appoint over this business." You know what most churches do for deacons? They go out and find businessmen. They may not be of honest report. They ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. And they don't walk in the wisdom of God. And all you got is a mess. Somebody with a title. Are you with me? But what was their ministry? Feeding widows. That's what Philip did. Then persecution came upon the church, and they scattered abroad, preaching the gospel. So now we find Philip in Samaria. And the people paid attention to his message. Why? Because of the miracles and the signs. But listen, he was not an apostle. There is a teaching out there that says that, well, miracles passed away when the last apostle died. Well, you won't find that any place in the New Testament, number one. Number two, what does an apostle have to do with what Philip did? Nothing. He was not an apostle. Probably wasn't an apostle within 25 miles. Are you with me? But yet, unclean spirits came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Well, how did that happen? Because Philip was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God will do more in a moment than you can accomplish in a lifetime. Now, I want you to see something. Notice what happened. He's preaching. There are signs, wonders, and miracles. Philip is not an apostle. He's not a pastor. Later on in the book of Acts, he is identified as Philip the Evangelist. He's the only model of a New Testament evangelist that we have in the Scripture. Other than Jesus, we know that Jesus fulfilled all the ministry gifts. But he had signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, there was a certain man there who was a witch doctor, a sorcerer named Simon. He saw these things, and the Bible says that he believed. Notice verse 12, Acts chapter 5. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." Now, let me ask you a question. Were these Samaritans who had listened to Philip preach, were they saved? Were they born again? Yes. They believed and were baptized. According to Jesus, they were saved. Jesus said, Mark 16, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Amen. So let me ask you again, were these Samaritans born again? Were they saved? Yes. They believed and were baptized. Now, there are some people who teach, well, that when you come to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and that's all the Holy Spirit you will ever need. Well, is that scriptural? Well, notice the next verse. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, listen. These Samaritans had heard Philip preach. They believed on the Lord Jesus. They were baptized. The Holy Spirit made His home within them. But did the apostles think they had all the Holy Ghost they needed? No. That's why they sent Peter and John. Amen. Why? That they might lay hands on them and that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. These people had the Spirit within. Amen. But the church of Jerusalem had enough sense to know they needed the Spirit upon. That's why Jesus told them, don't you leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, so they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whoever I lay hands may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, listen, there was something that happened, something that Simon saw that got his attention. And you got to remember, this guy was not some ordinary dude. Simon was a sorcerer. You know what a sorcerer is? See, some of y'all, when you think of sorcerer, you think of Harry Potter, or you think of some kid's story, you know, some guy with a pointy hat. You know, well, sorcery, what is that? It's the Greek word pharmakia. And it is nothing more than the entrance or the illegal entrance into the spirit world through chemicals, drugs. And that's what this guy did. He would mix up drugs and potions and people would drink this stuff and away they'd go. Amen? And that's how he did this stuff. Now, there were some things that happened. Everybody thought he was the power of God. Simon, the sorcerer, he's the power of God. Well, when the real power of God showed up, even he believed. Are you with me? See, there is a true and there is a genuine. And the true always, always, the true and genuine will always outshine the false. Always. And you find that all throughout the Scripture. There were a lot of supernatural things that happened. Didn't mean it was God. You know? And so Simon the sorcerer believed. But here we can see that the Holy Ghost was given, not through tarrying. They didn't tarry in Jerusalem this time. Not because of being baptized in Jesus' name only. No, they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost came when Peter and John showed up and laid hands on them. And Simon saw that the Holy Ghost was given through the laying on of hands. Now somebody might say, well, but Pastor Bill, it doesn't say they spoke with tongues in Samaria. Yeah, but it doesn't say they didn't. Simon saw something and knew that the Holy Spirit came. And Peter, when he rebuked him, said, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. The word matter is the Greek word logos. Something said. In other words, the Samaritans were speaking something that identified that they had received the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he let Simon know, you can't purchase this one, brother. This is the gift of God. This is the anointing. Amen? Amen. So what does that mean to us, the Spirit upon? Let's go back to something that Jesus said. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. the Spirit upon. There is a dynamic work that the Holy Spirit endeavors to do in the life of a believer when they receive Him. And that is, He takes their life and makes it something dynamic. Amen. It doesn't mean you'll ever preach. Doesn't mean you'll ever teach. But it means there's another dimension of life that you need to walk in. Amen. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Well, how important is that? It is of the utmost importance. Well, Pastor Young, can I live my life as a Christian, just believing in Jesus and make heaven my home? Yes. Yes, you can. You know, there are extremes on either side of the road. There are ditches on either side of the road. Valerie and I were driving the other day off Young Road out in Mill Creek, and I think that's where it was, but we're looking off on the side of the road, or were we on the west side? And there were some huge ditches out on West 38th Street. I mean, these ditches got to be 8-10 feet deep. Well, guess what's going to happen when you run into the ditch off West 38th Street? You're in trouble. You're not going to pull yourself out of that ditch. You need a tow truck to pull yourself out of the ditch. Well, in Christian circles, people get in ditches doctrinally with their teaching. And some teach it, well, when you get saved, that's all the Holy Ghost you'll ever need. Well, you're in a ditch. There's more. And then there are people over here on the other side of the road. Well, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, you ain't saved. No, you're in the ditch. That's not true. We need to go down the middle of the road. Are you with me? Can I live my life as a Christian? Just being born again, believing in Jesus, and make heaven my home? Yes. Yes, you can. But there's more. Are you with me? There's more. Can I feed myself by going to the Quick Fill or the Country Fair? Yes. But if you go to Wegmans, there's more. If you go to Tops, there's more. You with me? You want to live your life eating beef jerky? Knock yourself out. But there's more. Amen? There's a whole lot more to choose from. There's a whole lot more you can do. There's a whole lot more you can experience. Notice Acts 1, and I'm going to read from the Amplified. And we'll start with verse 6. Well, verse 5. Jesus said this, "For John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with, placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit." So when they were assembled, they asked him, "Lord, is it this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to become acquainted with and to know what times, what time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods, or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the fathers appointed, fixed and reserved by his own choice, authority, and personal power." But notice verse 8. "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." There's a dynamic work of the Holy Spirit that causes you to not only become more able, but more efficient and more mighty. Amen. Strong. Amen. Now, there's something about the Holy Spirit. And the only way I can accurately describe this to you is to show you an example of this principle. And this is the last passage we'll look at. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. And let me find the right chapter. And I think it's chapter 10. Oh, this is good. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Who can tell me who the first king of Israel was?
Saul.
And Saul was a fella who was pretty big. He stood head and shoulders taller than anybody else in Israel. And Samuel was instructed to take a vial of oil and pour it upon Saul's head. Now that oil had no significance other than the fact that it represented the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit coming upon him. And so, verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 10 says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him, and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance?' And then he gave Saul some instructions. And notice verse 5, he said this, 'And after that you shall come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass that when you come there to the city, you'll meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with some musical instruments, and they shall prophesy.'" Notice verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that you do as occasion serve you, for God is with you." Amen. Now, he said, you will meet these prophets coming down from the high place. They'll have musical instruments. They'll be singing and worshiping. And he said, they'll prophesy, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he literally transform into somebody else? No. Was he the same guy as he was before? Yeah. But what happened here? The Holy Spirit coming upon him gave him ability that was beyond himself.
Amen.
Or gave him ability where he could function as though he were another man. And such is the case with you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, he will not only empower you with might, but he will enable you to function as though you were somebody else.
Amen. Yes.
What is he doing? He's taking you beyond yourself. He's taking you beyond your ability. That's why when Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them, there were signs, wonders, and miracles. That wasn't in him. That was on him.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit was doing through him.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit empowers us and takes us beyond our ability.
Amen.
You know the problem with too many Christians? They're just plain selfish. They just want all they can get for them. Lord, just bless me, my wife, my son, and my daughter, us four, and no more. Just so I can get in. We've got to have a heart that goes beyond just us. You want to be blessed in life? Learn to think about somebody else. You want to be blessed in life? Learn to do things for somebody other than yourself. Amen? You want to understand covenant and relationship? Learn to live your life for somebody else, not yourself.
Amen.
Well, the Holy Spirit will empower you so that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water so that you can minister to others.
Amen.
So that you can step beyond your ability and do things that people... You know, I've done things in life, even in the natural... Even in business, there have been times that the Spirit of God has come upon me and I've been able to do things that nobody else had ever done. That nobody else had ever done. And it propelled me forward way beyond other people. I was sharing my testimony with somebody the other day. I went to work for a certain company that had a training program many, many years ago in the 80s where I could manage my own store after 9 months of training. And so they sent me to a training store, and in that training store was a trainee who'd been there 16 months. And I'm thinking, what happened to this 9-month thing? He's been here 16 months. And now I'm second behind him. But one day, a fellow pulled up in front of the store, and I did what nobody else had ever been done. I sold this guy more computers than anybody had ever sold him. And I stuffed his car with so many computers that... the only place left was the driver's seat. 2 weeks later, I had my own store. Because I sold one guy 8 computers. Nobody had ever done that before. Was that because I was so smart? No, I'd only been there 2 months. But it was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
Then I worked that job for about 9 months. Looked for another one because I needed to make more money. And so I got a job selling consumer packaged goods for a pharmaceutical company. And they hired me, started at me at X amount of dollars a year. And I never will forget one Saturday, the woman I went to work for pulled up in front of my store that I'm managing now with a car and a big old box with all my accounts in it. Now, I gave my 2 weeks' notice. I'm starting in 2 weeks. She comes in, puts this box on the counter, hands me the keys, said, "There's your car." She said, "Can you start Monday?" I said, "I still have another week of notice." She said, "Look, if you'll start Monday, I'll give you a $2,000 raise. I'll start you at Y instead of X." I said, "I'll be there Monday." How many people you know got a $2,000 raise, hadn't worked day one? Was that because I'm so smart? No, that was the Holy Ghost. He'll take you beyond your ability. When she said that, I had to quit, Al. I had to quit. I got on the phone. I called the district manager. I said, "I got to go." He said, "Why?" I said, "They gave me a $2,000 raise. I haven't even worked a day yet." He said, "Well, I don't blame you. Go ahead." Amen? The Spirit upon. He will take you beyond your ability. It has very little to do with money, but He cares about your life. Now, why did He do that for me? Because I had left Bible college and moved to another state to help a man start a church. And God just wanted to make sure I was taken care of. Amen? He'll do the same thing for you. He doesn't care about me any more than He does you. I just have more responsibility than you do at times. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. We want to pray for folk this morning.